I guess that last didn't go out. So good evening, everybody, from City Hall for the City of Gustavus. It's Monday night, December 13, 2021. Welcome to our general meeting for the month of December. I'm calling it to order. This is Mayor Taylor. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Sharman?
Here.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
And Councilmember Furr is absent tonight, so we have 6 members present and a quorum exists.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I should note for the audience, this is our first evening where we are doing a hybrid council meeting. And so we have council members Vander Zanden, Bishop, Taylor, and Sharman present. And we have one member of the public present, Leslie Sirstad. So we're making progress, and welcome, Leslie. And our next item is the vision statement, and I believe Tanya Lewis is prepared to read the vision statement.
Yes, indeed. We envision a distinctive community that prospers well and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision makings affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you very much. The next item is approval of the minutes. We have minutes to approve for the general meeting of November 8, 2021, and a special meeting of November 23rd, 2021. And I believe, again, Councilmember Lewis has a motion on this.
I move to approve by unanimous consent the 11-8-2021 general meeting minutes and the 11-23-2021 special meeting minutes.
Do we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
I'll second that.
We had a second from Councilmember Sharman first, so thank you very much. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? And if you're online, you can press your raise your hand using the reactions button and let us know if you have something to say. Seeing none, Leslie Sirstad here. I need to remember to look in the audience now. Thank you very much. That wasn't a correction for the minutes. It was just Leslie saying she appreciated that Saul had been appointed to his new position as fire chief. So thank you. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing none, are there any objections to passing the 11-8-2021 2021 general meeting minutes and the 11/23/2021 special meeting minutes by unanimous consent. Hearing none, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. The minutes are approved. By the way, I should mention that please bear with us if we stumble around here a little bit. You know, we're new to this hybrid system here, but it seems to be working pretty well. The next is the mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no changes to suggest for the agenda. Are there any requests from council members for any agenda changes? Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Hearing no objections, the agenda is set by unanimous consent. The next section of our agenda is committee and staff reports. And we'll be hearing from tonight from the library, the Gustavus Marine Facilities, the city treasurer's monthly financials are in the packet, and our city administrator will have a report. So first we will hear from the library. I believe librarian Leanne Winkle is on. Winkle.
Hi everybody. Leanne is also on, but this is Jessie and I'm going to give the report tonight.
Thank you, Jessie.
Yeah, of course. I will summarize just what we put in our written report and point out some highlights. One highlight for us was in October when we collaborated with the Gustavus Community Center in hosting the Harvest Fest. It went really well. There were lots of people that showed out. Another highlight was Halloween, highlight for lots of people, of course. And we had almost 100 trick-or-treaters visit the library, and lots of photos were taken, and Leanne posted those on Facebook. Table display in the library, which was visited by, and each item on the white table represented something. The turned over glass represented an uneaten meal. The white cloth represented a soldier's pure heart. The empty chair represented missing soldiers, and so on and so on. And there were flags that people could take to display at the end of their driveway, and several people came into the library to see that display specifically and take a flag. We've got a couple of new programs that we're trying out, a silent book club and a puzzle club. Those are in the evenings on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Another highlight for us was receiving a grant of almost $6,000 from the American Rescue Plan Act. A requirement of the grant was to use $3,500 at least of it to respond to COVID impacts within the community. And so when we were planning for the grant, we felt we should use the funding to offer opportunities for patrons to access library materials that are outside of our physical library. So we had a couple of ideas for that. One was to create an outdoor storybook trail, and another was to create STEM kits that could be checked out, taken home and checked out by patrons. And the outdoor storybook trail is an idea that many libraries have implemented across the country, where you have these boards that are placed along a trail or within an area that people can walk from board to board to read a book page by page. We are hoping to collaborate with the school in this project and get some help from students in building the boards and the trail. And we met with Principal King last week and he was going to talk to his teachers. Another highlight for us is the hiring of Melissa Gome. She is a temporary library assistant, and her The big goal for her is to help us get our online catalog system kind of back in order. Over the years, many different people have entered books into that cataloging system, and they didn't necessarily do it wrong, but everybody did it their own way. And so books have been entered many different ways, and we want it to be consistent and cleaned up. And Melissa has many, many years of cataloging experience. And so we are grateful for her knowledge and passion in cataloging. And she has already cleaned up several sections of the library and taught Leanne and I a lot. Another thing we're excited about is a plan for a covered bike shed. We're hoping to submit a scoping document to the council very, very soon. Bree Olson is helping us work through that process. Those are our highlights. If anybody has any questions, I would be glad to answer them.
Do any council members have any questions for Jesse Soder? I'm not seeing any, but Jesse will look forward to working with you on that bike shelter soon. So thank you very much for the nice report, great photos in it, and for the great work that all three of you now at the library and the volunteers do to make this just the greatest library for a small town in Alaska, in my view. So thank you very much. Our next report. Our next report is from the Gustavus Marine Facilities Coordinator, Ben Sadler.
Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
Okay, great. So because I talked so long last week, I'm not really going to talk too much this week. But I did just want to point out to the council that we're coming up on the end of my work year. So I'm trying to wrap everything up so that I can be done and enjoy the winter without work, I guess. One little hiccup that we're still dealing with is moving the steel float. We found out today that we don't necessarily have folks in town who can or are willing to help us move the float. So I believe Tom has probably talked to Mike, and hopefully we're going to get something together with DOT. I don't really know what the plan is. I guess we'll have to discuss it tomorrow. But at the moment, we don't necessarily have a plan for moving the float. And then the only other thing I wanted to mention was that earlier today, I got a call from a community member, and someone had spray painted some graffiti on his boat, which is parked in the boat harbor. We had this problem last fall. And because of what they painted, I'm assuming it's the same person who spray painted on the barrier at the end of the cul-de-sac late last month. So I'm going to try to see if we can't get something out to the community to see what we can do about finding out who this person is and maybe discourage them from doing that in the future. And then that's all I have, unless you guys have any questions.
Thank you, Ben. Do any council members have any questions for Ben on his report? Not seeing anybody. So Ben, yes, we'll keep working on that steel float movement. We do have a couple ideas, and I guess we'll just have to get back to DOT again. We had one meeting with them a week and a half or so ago, and looks like we're going to have to get back with them on what possibilities we have. So thanks for the nice report, and you gave us a real long one during our work session, and so we appreciate your work and keeping our marine facilities and the beach park up in good condition. The next is the monthly financials, and I believe our treasurer, our finance department are off tonight. Their report is in the packet. But I would note, just as an overall summary, we're 35% of the way through the year on the 6th of when this report was printed, on the 6th of December. And at that point, our revenue for the year that we'd taken in 35% of the year, we were at 104% of the forecasted revenue in our budget. So that's, so we're doing really well on revenue, and that's why we've got an adjustment coming up with an NCO to acknowledge that higher revenue. And our expenses are running at about 49.2% of projected for the year. Now, while that 49.2% is more than the 35% of the year that we're through, we have a number of things that we pay 100% of upfront, like things like insurance, and our repair and replacement account, the gravel pit account, and those things that we sock away. We know what we're going to be spending, and we just pay them up front. So it's not unusual for us to be a little ahead of the year on expenses at this point. We're still doing fine on that. Please take a look at that report in the packet. The last report is from City Administrator Tom Williams. Tom?
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening. Before I get into my written report, I'll do a quick update on the steel float. I've been in communication with DOT. We're trying to get a letter from DOT to provide to the from the Coast Guard so that we could get a one-time permit for a qualified vessel, one over 25 feet, that has most of the requirements met. In talking with DOT at that meeting the mayor referred to, they offered to do a letter to the Coast Guard explaining the circumstances and asking the Coast Guard to provide that one-time permit for the city one more time. And we hope to see that letter to the Coast Guard from DOT later this week. We haven't determined if we're going to need that letter or not. We'll have to discuss the different options of trying to move the float. Right now, our options are to put out another RFQ or to locate some smaller vessels that would be willing to work with the city in moving the steel float. They will be compensated a nominal amount to do so. And the third option would be to leave the float in place. That option has some complications, but it is one we discussed with DOT. As far as my written report, nothing's much changed since the work session. I'll go over it briefly, and there is an update on the request by Councilmember Sharman on the rapid tank. So we have had some presentations from department heads to the council. You can see there we've hit the city administrator and mayor, clerk, the treasurers, marine facilities, the library, and the fire department. On January 24th, we'll hear from the treasurers again. This time they will focus on the budget and the capital improvement plan preparation for that for upcoming fiscal year 23 for the general budget and for fiscal year 20 for the CIP. And on February 7th, assuming the agenda will allow, we'll hear from our DOC manager If not, we'll reschedule February 7th. Either the DRC, if they're not able to make it on February 7th, PFAS.
Tom, you're cutting out there, so we're missing part of your report here.
Yeah, I saw. I just got dropped. Did I get through the presentations okay? The council member information?
You were cutting out for about the last minute or minute and a half there. So if you want to pop back just a little bit.
Okay, I'll briefly cover what we have coming up. January 24th, the treasurers will talk to us about development and preparation for our general budget fiscal year 23 and our capital improvement plan, our calendar year 22. And we'll do that hopefully on January 24th. On February 7th, if the work session agenda will allow, we will hear from our DRC. And if not, we'll have that DRC presentation on the 28th of February. We hope to be able to complete our presentations with the mayor and city administrator on a discussion of community-centric issues like PFAS, COVID policies, ordinances and resolutions, just some general local government issues. Roads update, a big thanks to Glacier Bay Construction for the snow plowing. As you may know, the city had intended to contract with an additional snow plowers to hit some of the side roads, but we found out that the municipal snowplow and insurance was too expensive to make the work profitable. Consequently, we were being faced with not having a strategy for side streets and the city lots, but Glacier Bay Construction stepped forward and amended their contract so that they could go ahead and get the side roads and the city lots. They've done an outstanding job. As you know, we have had many, many plowing events over the last month. They've done a great job of getting out with very short notice. So a big thanks to Justin and Ponch for providing that service. If you think that your road needs service, contact City Hall. We don't always know on some of the side roads what the conditions are. We rely on people calling us, providing input, and then the roads team can determine what approach we need to take, whether it's an immediate plow or an upcoming plow, or just ensuring that we're getting to that end of the road kind of issue. Our FEMA reimbursement that we've received for the COVID-19 disaster has been deposited. We have identified some expenditures that are appropriate for those funds. Those funds were reimbursed, or they were paid by FEMA. We reimbursed those to the COVID expenses that FEMA covered, and therefore we have a surplus of funds that come from the CARES Act that have to be spent by the end of this month. We've identified some CARES Act projects that we had in 2020 and going to continue with those. And we should be able to expend all of those funds by the end of the year and put a little extra money into our general account. I want to put a big shout out to Phoebe for doing all the work to get that reimbursement. There was a crazy amount of documentation and an insane amount of meetings that she had to attend. working with FEMA is very challenging, and this was a very unique situation being COVID. So the team at FEMA was not experienced with doing the grant management for these expenditures under the COVID-19 disaster. So that added another layer of difficulty, and Phoebe did a fantastic job in working through it and getting us the $9,300. You want to go to the last page there, Karen, please. Thank you. Rapid testing. Councilmember Sharman asked if we had an idea of how many rapid tests we were getting and what the cost of the tests were. I talked with our fire chief, and we're averaging around 30 tests per week, rapid tests per week. And the best guesstimate we have is about $10 per test. We are working on the funding for Rapids ends in March 2022. We're working to see if that will be extended as suggested by the state all the way through 2025. We haven't got confirmation on that, but that was what they had told us. They were looking at in terms of continuing the program for both Rapids and PCR testing. Finally, just a reminder on our America Rescue Plan Act funding opportunities. There's some links there below. As I receive grant notices, I've been sending those out to agencies here in town that may benefit from them, nonprofits, the visitors, GVA, the community center, any of the other groups that I think could benefit from any of these notice of funding opportunities, they may not be getting these, so I forward those on. As far as the city goes, this is a very competitive program. There are nationwide submissions, so if we are going to submit any grants, we need to get some of that front end work done. The primary scoring comes from showing or demonstrating public approval, priority. It can't be something that they, just pops up because they look at that as a application of opportunity. So it's something that we need to do some resolutions at town halls demonstrate that this is an ongoing priority of the community. That's my report, Mayor. If there's any questions, I'm happy to address those.
Thank you. Councilmember Sharman has a question.
Thanks, Tom, for that report. I have a follow-up question regarding testing, specifically the availability of rapid tests. And can we presume that the availability of rapid tests to us is essentially unlimited unless and until somebody tells us differently?
Well, unlimited is kind of a scary word. I would say that we have been told by the state that because we submit for payment of our testers and they provide the supplies and all that, that they're taking care of all that for us. But we don't anticipate that opportunity ending. So I suppose your statement is correct. I'm a little fearful to use that word. So as far as okay. I know, we're going to be funded.
Okay, that works. Thank you.
All righty.
Any other questions for Tom for his report from the council? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Thank you very much, Tom. The next.
Excuse me, Mike. I do have a follow-up question on the budget.
Please go ahead.
The previous item.
So
I think folks might be interested in, you know, we all know that we've had to move a lot of snow so far this year, and at some point we will have exhausted that, what we had budgeted for snow removal. So what is our strategy for, in that event?
Well, I can try to answer it and then see if Tom has something he'd like to add. Well, this has happened before. We had one winter, I recall, when we plowed about 15 times, and I think we ended up moving some more money into the budget on that time. It's possible that we won't have to do that if we get a FEMA payment before we run out of money. And we're not going to run out of money in the next, you know, couple of months. That's one way to refill the budget. If not, it's a good thing we're running quite a bit of surplus on revenue this year. We'll have a little extra to move in. And sometimes that's just what you have to do when you have a year like this. You kind of put aside the other road maintenance stuff that you're doing. And, you know, first things first, it's a lot of snow, and that's what we got to move. So we'll take care of the snow, and then we'll figure out how to fund it. And I'm confident we can do it. Tom, anything to add on that?
Yes, thanks, Mayor. Just as a refresher, last fiscal year when we were doing the budget, we increased the budget for roads to $150,000. And the purpose of that was to bring our roads back up to what the optimal operating condition is. Over the years, we have graded the roads, moved gravel off, have not restored the roads back to the pre-winter conditions. And over time, the roads have become less serviceable. So we put extra money in the budget so that we could start rebuilding the roads, and so they would need less maintenance over the different seasons. We then had the flood, and because of the flood, we were forced to go in and do a lot of that reshaping and reconditioning of the roads. So in one way, with a FEMA reimbursement for the flood, we'll have covered those improvements that we had budgeted out of our general fund or our general budget, and therefore save money by getting that reimbursement. But so we actually had more money in our roads budget this year than we have had in previous years for that purpose. And that's why we'll, like the mayor said, likely be able to continue with our existing budget until we get our FEMA reimbursement. I think there's, I want to say there is somewhere about a third of the budget left, $48,000, I think, or 40 some thousand dollars in there. So I think we're in pretty good shape unless we go through a period of a lot of snow in a short, over the short run, and that just continues. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Since I know there's a lot of interest in roads, and I note that Glacier Bay Construction has a hand up. And so since we're sort of doing a road report and they're our road contractor, I'd be glad to call on them to add any thoughts that relate to this. Probably Justin there. I see a GBCI, unless that's Glacier Bay Country Inn.
Hey, Mike, that is me, and I didn't mean to raise my hand.
Okay, thank you, Justin. It's always great to hear from you anyway. Okay, so any other questions for our city administrator? Okay, I guess the next item then is public comment on non-agenda items. And so this public comment period is for non-agenda items only and is not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you would like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone and the clerk will add you to the list and then re-unmute you when it's your turn to speak, or we'll remute you until it's your turn to speak and then let you speak. So please state your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You'll have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief. A 2-minute period would be appreciated. So we'll keep them to 2 minutes. I'd like first to call on Susan Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First off, a shout out to you, sir, and the city administrator and Glacier Bay Construction for keeping our roads plowed under extremely distressing conditions. If you did not plow our roads, we could not live here. So thank you so much for your efforts to keep up with it all. I would like to ask the council members to please remain strong in defending our community from anti-mask agitators who just can't seem to get it into their heads that wearing masks is in our shared public spaces isn't primarily for their benefit, but to protect our elders, our seniors, and the more vulnerable members of our community from unnecessary exposure risk to the COVID virus from them. When one is younger and healthy, it may be extremely difficult to even imagine how perilous, how potentially catastrophic it can be to get even a little sick when there are underlying health risks present. Because as with other viruses like HIV, it's not the virus that will necessarily kill you outright, but the hit to the immune system that will then allow other opportunistic diseases to run right over you and lay you flat dead. So please continue to insist that people wear masks in our shared public places to protect those of us who are 65 and older, in the 50 to 65-year-old group with underlying health issues such as heart conditions, respiratory illnesses, esophageal and gastrointestinal issues, cancer, diabetes, recent or scheduled surgeries, hip, joint, and spine injuries, or other immune system disorders. In other words, a couple hundred of our citizens. Ms. McLaughlin's comment that there's no perceived threat locally reveals nothing more than a staggering ignorance of how a couple hundred of her neighbors and fellow citizens just do not share her youthful enthusiasm for embracing threats to one's health. And please make sure to protect. I'm getting there. Just half a minute more. Please protect our city staffers from people such as that fellow who apparently, knowing he was COVID positive, barged maskless into City Hall and got up in the face of a staff member who was scheduled the very next day on a flight to the Anchorage Heart Center. Please protect our staff people from such bullying. A CDC website shares a list of human studies of mask wearing to reduce the spread of the virus, in some cases with as much as up to a 70% decrease in COVID transmission. So thank you for standing firm on requiring mask wearing in our shared public places. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Do any council members have any clarifying questions for Susan Warner? Okay, thank you, Susan. Next to comment is Greg Straveler.
Are you gonna come?
Yeah, I can't read. Oops.
Here I am. I got it. Are you okay?
Greg, you're unmuted now, so.
Thank you. Well, I'm gonna take a different tack than Susan did on the same issue, but it's a more general look at it sort of from an angle. I was just noticing when Tanya read your vision statement, that it talks about retaining closeness and cooperative attitude among the citizenry. And we're starting to lose that. And I find it probably the single most fundamental issue we have right now, perhaps even globally, but certainly in Gustavus. As a 50-year resident here, I've watched one of the things I always loved about this place was that you could come home from places that almost uniformly were a little bit more divisive, and Gustavus, no matter who you talk to, you can get along with them. Things proceeded well. There wasn't any tendencies to get one's nose up about this or that business or this or that city function, and we got along. And I see us getting away from that. I consider that sort of a pretext down the line. What you see nationally is that it kind of drifts down the line until we're in gridlock and until we're sort of in armed camps. And I think that almost anything we try to accomplish after getting to that state will be kind of futile. So I really, really hope we try to avoid the drift in that direction. And I would say that the city has a role in this to play. Many other things have to come into order too, but I think the city can do a few things, I think, to ameliorate this. And talking to some of your constituents of your city council, I think this is already on people's minds, so I would like to just sort of reinforce what I think there. Yes?
Okay.
Hello?
Well,
Thank you very much. I wasn't done yet. Am I finished?
Well, did you have another sentence or two? That, you know, we're about it. We've gone past our 2 minutes.
Okay. Well,
whoops, looks like we accidentally muted you. Let's try her again here. Can you open him up? Can he unmute? Okay.
Can Greg, you hear me?
You're unmuted. You had a closing comment there.
Yes, I'll just stand with that. That's the main point, and we can get to particulars some other time. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, and I have appreciated hearing from you directly on this subject. Do any council members have any clarifying questions for Greg? Tanya Lewis.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I feel like, Greg, you got cut off and that you had something else to say, and I would love to hear it. You know, if you have any ideas of how to overcome these differences. I mean, I know that's a big topic, but if you had something else to say, I want to hear it.
Okay. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Okay. The points I had after that are pretty brief. I would really encourage you to have this question of division amongst us on the agenda pretty frequently,
and also that you work toward public outreach on the issue, because I think it's on everybody's mind and I don't see much dialogue in public about it. Secondly, I hope that you're reviewing policies you have that have proven divisive and see if there's any effect that on all parties that you can ameliorate on that. I respect what Susan said, and there's a lot of reason for doing what you're doing, but I also think there's a lot of reason for trying to find a more common ground on that. And thirdly, and quite importantly, you have to also, and we all have to encourage each other, I think, to find ways away from ironclad ideologies on the subject and to try to find places where we all can at least incrementally move toward a common vision. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions for Greg? Okay, I don't see any more. Thank you, Greg. Annie Mack, it looks like you're unmuted. I don't see a hand raised. Did you want to speak?
Yes, I would like to. I don't have a hand to raise for some reason. I wanted to also speak on the COVID masking. I have seen Kelly's petition regarding having continuity of masking in the city departments. I would like to comment as a volunteer at the community chest where our mask policy has remained the same throughout COVID. As the chest falls under the DRC, Paul Berry is our boss and makes the decisions regarding the chest while listening to input from the volunteers. When we discussed our mask policy, we decided that masks would only be worn inside the main building. The reasoning behind this was, first, COVID and its variants are still an ongoing concern. Second, all the volunteers manning the desk are senior citizens. And a New York Times article reported yesterday, as the US nears 800,000 virus deaths, one of every 100 older Americans has perished. Number three, the main building is a small space where it's hard to distance. Four, it's not always an option to have the doors open for ventilation, and certainly not at this time of year. Lastly, we care about the health and well-being of anyone who shops at the chest. I would like to thank the community for respecting this policy. I believe that the community chest operates under the idea of the common good, that wearing a mask is a small thing to do to keep us all as safe as possible. With very few exceptions, everyone shopping at the chest has been very respectful and willing to help us protect each other, regardless of their individual beliefs. COVID has had spikes in all the larger Southeast communities in the past 4 to 5 months. We never know when the next positive case will be in Gustavus, nor if and when the Omicron variant will arrive. Indeed, it was detected today in Anchorage. It is not a time to let down our guard. I think the city council election in October was a strong indication of voters' feelings on masking. No votes for candidates were tied 50-50. I am thankful for the council's willingness to look out for the best interests of all the citizens of Gustavus. For me personally, masking is doing what I feel is right to protect my community. I care about my friends and neighbors. We're all in this together. I think there are solutions to anyone who wants to shop at the chest and are not willing to wear a mask, such as asking a friend to be a personal shopper. Also, I would be happy to look for items if someone wants to text me. My cell number is on the phone list. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Annie Muskowiak. Do any council members have any clarifying questions for Annie? Okay, well, thank you again, Annie. Are there any other public comments for non-agenda items? I'm not seeing anything else come up on my screen here. Leslie Sirstad in our audience would like to speak. Leslie, you could go out of the microphone over there if you want to speak into it.
Okay.
We can carry it over four.
He's 6 foot now. I don't want to pinch him. I do want to say, and seriously, I miss each of you that aren't personally here. Okay. There is something to where we can personally meet. We can do it under the guidelines. We can do it. I'm 6 foot away. I have a mask on. I have vaccination. These rules that have been set up, we can agree to and we can respect. But I do so appreciate having you, and we can understand better and seeing you face to face and seeing your expression and being able to ask you questions or whatever that are a little inconvenient on the machinery. I do appreciate that you opened up for us. And when I come back again, I always will look and make sure that there's space, that I'm not crowding anybody. I'm not offending anybody. I will respect you. But I just so appreciate that the public can come here in our city hall. Okay. Now I have a couple of questions real quick. I do appreciate the road work that's been done in some of the side roads. That's been great. I did want to know, what have we discussed the actual cost of all this technology to bring in this, what did you call it? Hybrid.
No, but we, Leslie, we can't go back and forth on questions on this, but we, I'll get answers to you someday, and anything you ask though, after the meeting.
And I do know it brings more people in that wouldn't come. Even in the old days, wouldn't come to a meeting. It does bring people in, but to be personally in attendance is good as well. Let's see, on your 12-6 meeting, you talked about NPS concessioner housing adjustments, and I'd like to know whatever came of that and what that was talking about. Let's see if I've got, and concerning voting, because you know, everybody knows we've had issues about voting. I just have some info that I'd like to pass out, and I will before I leave, to all of you council members. And off and on, I bring things in. Other people bring things in just for info, no big thing. And thank you. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Do any council members have any clarifying questions for Leslie Sirstad? I'm not seeing any, but again, Leslie, it's a great pleasure to have you here in the audience on our first hybrid meeting. Okay, if there are no other questions or comments on non-agenda items, I'm not seeing any more, so we can go on to the next item, is the consent agenda. I can give you a brief idea what's on it. There are two items, a certificate of records destruction that everybody's probably pretty familiar with. We do this really about every month as our clerk continues to work through our old records and make sure that we are keeping the things that are required by our records retention policy, and that records that are due to be removed from the files are removed. So that keeps us efficient in our record system. So that's on the consent agenda for approval, and the item is in the packet. And then the other is introducing FY22-10 NCO, that's a non-code ordinance, for it's for departmental budgets, and we're scheduling this for, we'll post this month and schedule it for a public hearing on January 17. And this is one of our occasional NCOs that we do to rebalance our budget. And largely, we're taking advantage of the fact that we have brought in far more revenue than we had anticipated. Well, 104% of the revenue that we'd anticipated for the whole year in just 35% of the year. So the finance department has adjusted the projection of revenue for the year. And then they have also adjusted or reallocated some funding, some of that excess funding, a small portion of it actually, to several departments for expenses that we hadn't anticipated. And so we do this periodically. That will be on the agenda for January for approval, but you can look it over in the meantime, and we'll have public hearing on it in January. So those are the two items on the consent agenda. Councilmember Muscoviac, I believe you have a motion for this, for the consent agenda. Jim, it looks like you're still muted.
Sorry. Yes, I move that the council adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do any that we adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Do any members of the public wish to remove either of the two items from the consent agenda? And if we do so, we'll move it to new business. Seeing none, do any council members wish to remove anything from the consent agenda? Hearing none, do any council members have any objection to adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Seeing none, the consent agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is ordinance for public hearing. We have one item. This is FY22-09 NCO endowment fund transfer. This was introduced last month on the 8th of November. And you'll recall that when we introduced this, we explained that each year we determine how much money is going to be available for making endowment fund grants. And we move that money into a checking account so that we can, so it's then available to pay checks to those entities who have been awarded grants. And I believe Councilmember Vander Zanden has a motion for this.
Oh. Yes, I move that we approve.
Point FY22. Of order.
Yeah. Excuse me. We have a point of order. I made a mistake. We should ask for public hearing before we have the motion. So that was my mistake. I'm sorry. So do any members of the public wish to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, the hearing on this item is now closed at 7:58 p.m. Okay, so now if we can have a motion for this item, please.
Yes. I move that we approve FY22-09 NCO endowment fund transfer introduced 11/08/2021.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Well, I'll second it. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt FY22-09 NCO endowment fund transfer. Do any council members have any comments on this item? Seeing none, the motion then is to approve FY22-09 NCO endowment fund transfer as introduced on November 8, 2021. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember McFoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you very much. That's the end of that section. We have no unfinished business for this meeting. So that brings us on to new business. The next item is CY21-13 to award endowment fund earnings for 2022. And so this is, we've had a committee that has evaluated the applications that have come in. And they reported to us in the work session. So we had a discussion at that time. Do I have a motion for this item? Councilmember Sharman.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve CY21-13 Endowment Fund earnings for 2022, awarding the Gustavus Historical Archives and Antiquities in the amount of $17,336.91. The Gustavus Community Center in the amount of $17,336.91. And the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition in the amount of $10,000 for a total of $44,673.82.
Thank you. Do we have a second for this item, please?
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded to approve CY21-13 Endowment Fund earnings for 2022, awarding the Gustavus Historical Archives and Antiquities in the amount of $17,336.91, the Gustavus Community Center in the amount of $17,336.91, the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition in the amount of $10,000.00, for a total of $44,673.82. Okay, does anybody, does the maker of this motion wish to make any statement about it first? Okay, seeing none, do any members of the public wish to have any public comment on this item? Seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this item?
Point of order.
Yes.
Again, we need to read the resolution.
We need to read the resolution then. I'll have to get to it here in the notes. Okay, sorry, it took me a second to find it in my notes here. This is resolution CY21-13, a resolution to award endowment fund earnings for 2022. Whereas upon closure of some commercial fisheries in Glacier Bay National Park, the city of Gustavus was awarded approximately $963,000 as compensation for reduced economic activity resulting from this action. And whereas city ordinance section 4.13.090 states up to 3% of the average market value of the fund over the previous 5 years may be appropriated to provide funding for capital outlays, grant matching funds, and community projects, provided that the original inflation-adjusted principal of the fund is maintained. And whereas the amount available for disbursement according to the above formula is $44,673.82, and whereas unused funds from previously awarded grants that are now closed shall be retained in the endowment fund grant checking account and redesignated as available for future awards, and whereas there are no unused funds from previous years, making the total amount available for disbursement this grant cycle $44,673.82, and whereas 5 applications for funding under this program were received for a total of $151,736.82 requested, and whereas all applications appeared to have merit and qualify for consideration under the criteria set out in the city policy and procedure, and whereas the Gustavus Historical Archives and Antiquities request for funds will be partially funded at $17,336.91 toward expanding their museum building, and whereas the Gustavus Community Center's request for funds will be partially funded at $17,336.91 toward creation of a gateway gallery and equipment for the main hall, and whereas the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition's request for funds will be fully funded at $10,000 toward further advocacy for plume stop. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Gustavus grants $17,336.91 to the Gustavus Historical Archives and Antiquities and $17,336.91 to the Gustavus Community Center and $10,000 even to the Gustavus PFAS Action Committee or Coalition for a total of $44,673.82. Okay, does do we have any council comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. The next item is item 11, CY21-14, adopting an alternative allocation method for FY22 shared fisheries business tax program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA 17, Northern Southeast Alaska. Do I have a motion for this? Councilmember Bishop, I believe.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt CY21-14, adopting an alternative allocation method for the FY22 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA 17, Northern Southeast area.
Thank you. Do we have a second for this?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. It's been moved and seconded to adopt CY21-14, adopting an alternative allocation method for shared fisheries business tax program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FY17 Northern Southeast area. And I can read that resolution. This is resolution CY21-14, a resolution adopting an alternative allocation method for the FY22 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA 17, Northern Southeast Alaska. Whereas AS 29.60.450 requires that for a municipality to participate in the FY22 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program, the municipality must demonstrate to the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development that the municipality suffered significant effects during the calendar 2020 from the fisheries business activities. And whereas 3 AAC 134.060 provides for the allocation of available program funding to eligible municipalities located within fisheries management areas specified by the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. And whereas 3 AAC 134.070 provides for the use at the discretion of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development of alternative allocation methods, which may be used within fisheries management areas if all eligible municipalities within the area agree to use the method and the method incorporates some measure of the relative significant effect of fisheries business activity on the respective municipalities in the area. And whereas the Gustavus City Council proposes to use an alternative allocation method for allocation of FY22 funding available within the FMA 17 Northern Southeast area in agreement with all other municipalities in this area participating in the FY22 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council by this resolution certifies that the following alternative allocation method fairly represents the distribution of the significant effects during 2020 of fisheries business activity in FMA 17 Northern Southeast area, colon. All municipalities share equally 50% of allocation. All municipalities share remaining 50% on a per capita basis. So that language, by the way, is given to us by the state. So we do the same thing every year. Okay, do any members of the public have any comment on this item? Okay, do any council members have any comment on this item? Pretty routine here. If nothing further, then Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Makoviec?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you very much. The last item under new business is a resolution CY21-15, a resolution of the City of Gustavus comments on the USFS, US Forest Service, roadless rule. May I have a motion, please? Council Member Muscoviac.
Yes, I move that the City Council adopts City of Gustavus Resolution CY21-15, a resolution of the City of Gustavus commenting on U.S. Forest Service roadless rule.
Do we have a second, please?
Second it.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded to adopt CY21-15, a resolution of the City of Gustavus, comments on the U.S. Forest Service roadless rule. And Councilmember Muscoviac has agreed to read this one, so you don't have to listen to me.
Okay, time. And I'll just preface this by saying that this is an update of a resolution the City of Gustavus previously submitted. Whereas the City of Gustavus is a distinctive community that prospers by and through protection of its natural resources, and whereas the sustainability and resilience of our community, our Gustavus economy, and our lifestyles depend upon nurturing and sustaining the natural resources of our forests, rivers, and ocean, locally and regionally in Southeast Alaska, and whereas many Gustavus residents obtain their livelihoods from environmentally dependent tourism and fishing activities, and whereas the roadless rule was first adopted in 2001 to protect over 50 million acres of our nation's most essential and intact roadless areas in national forests throughout the United States, and whereas roadless areas in the Tongass National Forest represent some of the most spectacular and unique lands anywhere in the national forest system and support hunting, fishing, customary and traditional uses, unparalleled outdoor recreation opportunities, and opportunities for businesses, and whereas the amount of stored carbon in our intact old growth forests and soils of the Tongass represents one of the highest carbon stores in the world, and the conservation of intact inventoried roadless areas on the Tongass is essential for maintaining America's resilience and slowing climate change throughout the world, and whereas the Tongass provides a wide range of ecosystem services beyond carbon sequestration to residents and visitors alike on a 24/7 basis naturally and at no cost to the taxpayer. Whereas increased logging of mature forests in the existing roadless areas of the Tongass will seriously impact the ability of the forest to provide these vital ecosystem services. And whereas the community of Gustavus in the 1980s successfully advocated for wilderness status for Icy Strait Islands and for the designation of the Chicken Creek watershed and much of the northwest Chichagof Island as roadless wildlands. And whereas the community of Gustavus has opposed the large scale roading and logging at Homeshore Point Coverdon. And whereas the timber from the Tongass has primarily been sold at a significant loss to US taxpayers. And whereas the 372 timber-related jobs in Southeast Alaska in 2019, the year before the COVID-19 pandemic, represented only 0.81% of the total Southeast Alaska employment. And whereas timber cut on the Tongass National Forest is primarily exported to China as round logs, inhibiting the development of a regional value-added wood products industry. And whereas if the United States Forest Service and the state of Alaska are interested in increasing employment on the Tongass, there are numerous opportunities to employ forest workers to restore forest ecosystems damaged by past logging activities. Therefore, be it resolved that, given the serious and long-lasting negative impacts of the exemption from Alaska of roadless rural protections on the Tongass, the City of Gustavus strongly supports lasting protections for all inventoried roadless areas on the Tongass National Forest as provided for in the 2001 roadless rule. And it requests that the exemption of Alaska from the roadless rule be eliminated, and be it further resolved that the City of Gustavus urges that sustainable timber production opportunities be identified on federal, state, and private forest lands, particularly focusing on second growth timber outside the existing roadless areas, in support of a regional wood products industry suitable in scale to the demand for products from this region. And be it finally resolved that the City of Gustavus urges the United States Forest Service to invest in programs and employment opportunities for Southeast Alaska residents to restore the health and productivity of Tongass forests and streams as a means of supporting vital ecosystem services such as carbon sequestration, small-scale timber production, fish and wildlife populations, natural vistas, visitor amenities, subsistence, hydrological resources, and more.
Thank you. Do any members of the public have any comment on this resolution from the City of Gustavus regarding the U.S. Forest Service roadless rule and reinstating the rule for the forests in Alaska? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Do any council members have any comments on this resolution? Okay, seeing none, yes. Council Member Vander Zanen, sorry, I missed you there.
I think I must be a little slow. I can't figure out whether this thing is in favor of limited logging in our area or against it, if somebody's got a simple answer to that.
Jim Muscoviac, Council Member Muscoviac, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to prevent, broad clear-cut logging. I mean, as far as operations like West Tyler, there's plenty of timber along the existing road system in Hoonah area to be, getting the supply of timber. And we would advocate for that.
Does that answer your question? Okay. Any further? Okay, thank you. This relates to official roadless area on the Tongass National Forest and all of the previously logged and areas that are already roaded would not be included in this. And it just reinstates the roadless area protection for the roadless portions of the Tongass. And I'd note that the Forest Service held two public comment meetings here in Gustavus on this when two or three years ago, I guess it was, when they first proposed to remove the Tongass from the roadless rural protection. The hearings were very well, or they weren't really called hearings, they were public comment meetings or some such, but they were well attended, and attendees here, I was in both of them, I know Jim was as well. The attendees were unanimously in favor of retaining roadless rural protection for the Tongass. and some 95% of the comment nationally was for keeping the Tongass and also the Chugach under the roadless areas of those two forests under protection of the roadless rule. The Trump administration decided nevertheless to remove them. And this action by the new administration would reinstate roadless protection for the roadless portions of the Tongass and the Chugach. So our resolution supports that. Are there any other comments from the council on this? Seeing none, then, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. That concludes our new business. The next is City Council reports, and it begins with the mayor's quarterly report. You have it in the packet. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I did want to hit some highlights and use the opportunity to thank some folks who've done some great work for us over the last couple of months or so of this council. I started out with a visit to all of our staff members, and I'm really feel that we're lucky to have such dedicated, motivated, and competent employees serving our community and our city. And my job is to make sure they have what they need to accomplish the work they do for all of us. So I view the manager's job as carrying water for the troops, and so that's an important part of my job as mayor. Though they do, of course, work for the city administrator, the mayor is overall responsible for what goes on. I've been pretty busy with road projects and the beach CRMA. Tom Williams, Louis Sharman, Todd Boris, and I comprise the road maintenance team. So here's some highlights. We did a job to eliminate the flooding on the portion of Good River Road in the area of the Meadow Lane intersection between there and the river, and particularly up close to the Meadow Lane intersection during heavy rains by improving that ditch all the way down to the Good River. And that's been a successful project, and Glacier Bay Construction did a nice job with that. That culminates down by the Good River Bridge. You'll recall that in the last meeting, we awarded a consulting contract to PND engineers to help us plan the work that we need to do to both repair the bridge, bring it back up to condition where it will serve us for another 40 years, we hope, and also evaluate the geotechnical issue with the road embankment on the northwest corner of that. Due to the snow, we have put that on hold. We've agreed with PND that we'd pick it up when the snow allowed them to make a proper inspection of that embankment. But we did get a start on the work for that inspection. And I want to thank our fire department, and particularly Chief Sol Martinez, Assistant Chief Jeff Jarvis, and Firefighter Dina Bruchu, for hosing off the decades of accumulated sand on the deck of that bridge. So now we've got we can actually see the running boards and have a better idea of what needs to be fixed. So thank you for that. Two of the projects that we awarded last month, the Wilson Rink Creek Road Culvert Riprap and the Wilson Road Drainage Rehabilitation, are on hold also due to snow conditions now. We might manage to do them this month, but the snow intervened, so it looks like we'll just have to wait for spring now. But I do want to thank Todd Boris for his design work in helping me prepare those specs. The road team has other drainage and flood control projects that we're doing in-house for number of other roads, Tong Road, Fairweather Road, same old road, and several culvert replacements along Rink Creek Road. And we're going to be applying for federal funding for those projects to the extent that they'll qualify. That's something that our road team's working on with FEMA right now. Tom's covered the FEMA flood recovery application, and we had another meeting today. I'm hopeful that we'll be seeing some funds come from them in the not too distant future. On the beach CRMA, the Cooperative Resource Management Agreement for the beach park, you're, I think, all aware that we had a small team that was appointed by the council a couple of years ago, comprising Tom Williams, Shelley Owens, and me, to negotiate improvements to the original CRMA that had been signed in 2020. And the council approved a set of negotiating points that we carried to DNR, and we were successful in getting everything that the council had asked us to get into the new CRMA, with the exception that DNR said that we would have to provide a designated camping area in the beach park. And since it's their land, there wasn't much we could say about that. And we were happy to accept that one compromise and get all the other improvements that that we did in the CRMA. Bruce Wyrock now has that project for us in DNR. It was passed on to him by Chris Carpinetti, who has left the agency, got it started. And Bruce's long legal experience has been really helpful in producing a much better text than we had before. And I think it's going to serve us well going forward as we manage the park in the future. And so I want to thank Tom Williams, Shelley Owens, Whitney Rapp, who did a very nice map for the new CRMA, and local beach advocates as we reach what's a milestone in moving toward having a functioning park for our community. And I also thank Chris Carpinetti and Bruce Wyrock of DNR. We've had quite a few discussions that we did in our last work session on pandemic protective measures. Maybe I'll just read this paragraph. Since October, we have improved outside air ventilation rates at the library, maximized use of 3 portable HEPA-filtered air cleaners there. The library staff has reviewed their procedures with my input. We have purchased additional portable HEPA-filtered air cleaners for City Hall and the Fire Hall, and we're looking into a heat recovery outside ventilation system for this, for City Hall, to all those things are means that we can use to reduce the risk of transmission of COVID virus or flu virus or anything actually in our buildings by using an engineering control. So I particularly as an engineer prefer that approach. In accordance with past council direction, I support department and staff requirements for mask use in our facilities as part of a layered pandemic protective program in accordance with the recommendations of the federal CDC and the Alaska Division of Public Health. We will continually evaluate changing pandemic conditions, regional risk, and state health recommendations for opportunities to adjust our provisions so long as the health protection for staff, volunteers, and public members using our facilities is not compromised. And I particularly want to thank our city clerk, Karen Platt, for getting our council chambers set up for this first hybrid meeting. It's a step in the right direction here. Tom's covered snow plowing. I'll echo his thanks to Glacier Bay Construction for a really powerful effort. It's a lot of work, and we really appreciate the work they've done to make our roads passable in this extremely heavy snow year. And I expect that this could be a year like about 10 years ago when we had about 16 feet of snow and we must have plowed 15 times or so. And when that happens, we just have to deal with the snow. It's first things first, as I mentioned earlier. Leslie Sirstad had asked about the comments to the NPS on the project to replace the lodge housing. I raised this issue with the council in our work session a week ago, and with the support of the council, I submitted on December 7th, 2021 comments on behalf of the city supporting the park's preferred alternative to construct new employee housing and remove the existing outdated and deteriorated facility. I wanted to also thank Whitney Rapp for updating our Gustavus page on Wikipedia. She was able to update it with new census data, although there's still some demographic data that's come in. And so she's monitoring those data. And when they're posted, we'll do some further updating on that page. But we've got it more up to speed now. So those are my comments for my report. I'll probably make a report every month, but it won't be this long, so it won't cover as much time. Do any other council members have a report on any project they're doing for the city? Oh, okay. Council member Vander Zanden, please.
Yeah, I had a comment or two and then just kind of a notification, I guess. The mayor in his report here mentioned the Alaska Division of Public Health using that, and as a recommendation or partial anyway. And I wanted to quote that the state does not require the use of masks by the public. However, health and science experts recommend that you wear a mask in public whenever social distancing is challenging. That's their wording. That may not fit us exactly. I just referenced it. In contrast to what, because of our resolution CY2107, we seem to be, our plan seems to be based on the comfort levels of employees and volunteers. And I know many people agree with that, but it's not very tangible. It changes with each individual, and it's hard to define. And like Tanya mentioned last Monday, there's no end game to it. So I just wanted to let the council know that I would like to explore possibilities of amending CY2107 to try and find some kind of compromise that the council could agree on to change it. And I don't even know if that's possible. But I wanted to ask Tanya Lewis if you would agree to brainstorm that with me, and you can let me know now or by email or whatever, but just to explore some possibilities, if there are any, between now and the next meeting, and then present that to the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Vanderzanen. We'll look forward to whatever you have to offer on that. Tanya Lewis has her hand up also for a report, and I think it's on a similar, same subject here, maybe. Tanya?
Yeah, thanks. That was a great lead in. I don't know if this is a project, but it kind of feels like it's become a project where I'm trying to brainstorm and talk to people, staff and public and council members about how to bridge this divide that we have specifically over masking. And yes, Councilmember Vanderzanen, and I would love to work with you on it. There's a few different things I've been working on. One is that idea of an end game, I guess, or a more comprehensive policy for the city that is more transparent to the public. And, you know, as to when we may lift a mask mandate. One thing I have found out, and it's important to keep in mind when we say mask mandate, we're talking about in city buildings only. We've never, as far as I know, had a mask mandate for the town, for businesses or anything besides city. And when I review plans from other cities, namely Juneau and Hoonah, our closest neighbors, that's very different. You know, they are regulating all public places. You know, Juneau in particular is way beyond, you know, it's Fred Meyer's, it's Costco, it's everything. And in fact, maybe some of you guys heard, they just dropped the level down to moderate now. And so what that means is masks before, as of yesterday, I mean, until today, masks have been mandated for everybody in public spaces. And now it goes to moderate. And that means it's still mandated for unvaccinated, but not for vaccinated people. And most plans that I've looked at have that, they distinguish that. And so for us to, you know, follow any of these plans or make our own plan, you know, the it's tricky because there's one thing I think that people like even less than mask mandates, and that's showing a vaccine card. And we don't want to be in that position here. It's too small of a town. So because of who we are and because we're trying not to create division, we're trying to bridge the divide, it may be easier just to keep masks required than, you know, expect that vaccinated people don't need to mask and unvaccinated people do. I just think that's going to be even more of a can of worms. So kind of still looking at this, you know, it is, Councilmember Vanderzanen said it's the comfort of the staff and the volunteers. That's true. And it's the CDC. You know, we are a government organization, and we have to be accountable to the health organizations, the World Health Organization. And with our closest examples, you know, Hoonah and Juneau, You know, the, I guess my this is a long-winded way of saying we are not alone. Like, we are right in accordance with the other towns nearby. And then my mom reminded me yesterday, she lives in Florida, that we are not alone in having this rift in our community. It's happening all over the country right now. And, you know, Greg said we're usually more immune to it in this town. And I agree with that. And I would like us to be able to bridge this gap. So anyway, I don't have any real answers, but just letting everyone know what I'm working on. And actually, the one thing that I think I've made some progress on is scheduling a town hall where we will have a school component, a component of the meeting at the school. I need to verify the date with the principal, but early January, hopefully before the next work session, where people can share their views with the council. But more importantly, what I hope is that people will hear each other's views on a variety of things and the directions of the council, or direct the council to those views and really hear each other. Like, it could be a real open discussion event, I hope. So I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I can confirm we'll have it on the next work session agenda, and I imagine it's going to be a standing item for the foreseeable future. Yes, those are two good reports. Any other council members wishing to make a report on a project they're doing? We still have council comments coming up if you've got something that's more general. Okay, I'm not seeing anything else. The next item on the agenda, City Council questions and comments. This is a time for additional questions and comments that are not part of the agenda. If there's something you wanted to bring up, anybody on the council? I'm not seeing any.
Can I make a comment? Oh,
yes, you may. Sorry, I didn't see that.
Mike, I'd like to thank you for just, you know, the professional manner in which you run the meetings, and your just honesty and welcome attitude there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I felt that I was kind of stumbling along tonight, so thank you. That's very kind. Any other council questions and comments? Okay, that's then we can move on to one last opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. I think you all know the drill. We went through it at the first opportunity earlier today, and I see several hands coming up. Great. I'd like to call on Sally McLaughlin first, please. Sally?
Thank you. First, I would like to state my appreciation to all of you for serving on the council. I know it's a thankless task, and it takes a lot of time, and I just appreciate all of you for being there. A big thank you to Joe and to Tanya for pledging to work on amendments and a comprehensive plan and to seek compromise as we all work towards resolving this current conflict, and to the other council members who are willing to work to that end. I very much appreciate and agree with the comments made tonight by Greg Strevler. I recognize that you have many different views and requests to consider as you develop amendments to CY21-07 or to a new resolution altogether. I ask council members to keep a few thoughts in mind as you do so. Earlier resolutions regarding COVID mitigation included language such as, quote, violation does not create grounds for residents to harass individuals who do not comply, end quote, and also a language referring to masking and testing recommendations as encouragements, quote, from the city, and also language regarding respectful treatment of all. Somewhere along the way, we have lost that friendly language, and policies have been interpreted as more of a mandate in nature than simply recommendations. Please always look to the vision statement of the City of Gustavus to help guide your decisions. Two, I feel that policies regarding masking should come directly from City Council and not from city employees. So I appreciate the effort in that direction. City employees and volunteers should not be policing their workplaces, which often results in people feeling harassed. 3, if you are truly following CDC and state DHSS guidelines, please familiarize yourselves with these guidelines and apply them appropriately. And 4, please recognize that all residents deserve your respect and to be heard and valued, whether or not you agree with their views. Accusations of making a protest or an act of civil disobedience have been made against me and others, but that is simply not the case. I have very strong beliefs that happen to be different than those of others. That does not mean that I am an idiot or uncaring or that I'm being a bully or that I'm being unreasonable. I simply do not believe in the common narrative and do not wish to participate in what I believe to be unnecessary, restrictive, and unhelpful policies. I would like to see inclusive policies for all to access city buildings and request that compromises be made to allow for this. Again, thank you, and I look forward to an amended or a new resolution on the agenda for January.
Thank you very much, Sally. Do any council members have any clarifying questions for Sally McLaughlin? Okay, well, thank you again very much, Sally. I appreciate your comments. And Kim Nay, I see your hand up. Looks like you're unmuted, but I'm not hearing you. Oh, maybe it's a different Kim. It just says Kim, and I knew that Kim Nay was intending to. Whoever is Kim on the screen here, that's who we'd like to hear from, please. You're unmuted, so we should be able to hear you. We're still not hearing you, and it's not showing that you're speaking on the screen here. Your little microphone doesn't show any. Oh, there, you muted. Now try it again, unmuted. Madam Clerk, do you have a suggestion for Kim here to, so since we're not hearing her, unfortunately.
Kim, you could try dialing the number. It is 1-253-215-8782. And Kyle can put it up on the screen for you.
Kim, you might also try your speaker volume. Sometimes your speaker volume gets pushed all the way to the left and won't have any sound coming out of it. So you might try that as well.
Microphone, yeah. Maybe the microphone volume.
Yeah, she could be set up with
well,
headset and not have the right connection.
Well, Kim, I'm sorry that we're unable to hear your comment. And how about us putting it into an email and sending it to the clerk, and she'll make sure we all have a chance to hear your thoughts. And we'll look forward to maybe hearing you your voice on next month if you've got something to say. So I guess we'll have to move on then. Are there any other members of the public who would like to make a comment on non-agenda items? Other than Kim's hand there, I'm not seeing anybody else. So I guess if there's no further business, is anybody, have I missed anything, council members that wanted to cover? Okay. Well then, we'll adjourn our meeting then at 8:50. Thank you all for participating. For those of you in the audience who have tuned in by Zoom or phone, we appreciate it. And we'll look forward to hearing from you all in the January meeting and maybe at the town hall that Tanya is putting together. So thank you all and good night.